This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Pendleton Whiskey, Bill Fick Ford, the WCRA, and Resistol. Born in the iconic American Western town of Pendleton, Oregon, and taking its name from one of the most revered rodeos in the world, my absolute favorite rodeo, known for the grass, the Pendleton Roundup. Pendleton Whiskey is a modern celebration of a century-old tradition. Pendleton Whiskey is barrel-aged in American oak and cut with Glacier Fred spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood. For an uncommonly smooth, rich taste, and complex flavor, the Pendleton Whiskey brand honors a heritage that inspires us to live boldly, never lose sight of the values we believe in, and taste the moment, wherever we may be. The legacy of the American cowboy is forged in every single bottle. A taste of true Western tradition is always worth raising a glass to. Discover more at PendletonWhiskey.com. Oh, and Pendleton Whiskey is the official whiskey of Pro Rodeo and of the PBR. Pendleton Blended Canadian Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, Pendleton Distilleries, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Please drink responsibly. Bill Fick Ford, the number one Super Duty dealer in the entire country, is still taking care of their customers. It's hard to get trucks right now, but there's some perks when you're the number one Super Duty dealer in the country. You still got trucks. Go to BillFickFordHuntsville.com to get the no bull discounts that no one else is giving during this crazy time that we're living in. Bill Fick Ford is still the place to go. In fact, if you ask me, it's the only place to get a new Super Duty dealer today. Bill Fick Ford. Who wants to be rodeo's next millionaire? It's time. That time again through the WCRA, you can win $1 million by nominating your rides or runs and earning points through the WCRA. Through the Triple Crown of Rodeo, the WCRA will award $1 million in cash prizes to any one athlete or collection of athletes who wins first place in any three consecutive WCRA major rodeos. $1 million is completely up for grabs. The Days of 47 Cowboy Games and Rodeo will be the second stop of the 2021 Triple Crown of Rodeo Series. The event will pay out over $560,000 and will be held July 20th through the 24th in Salt Lake City. Get this, there will be zero entry fees, people. You heard me correctly. No entry fees. The only way to qualify for the Triple Crown of Rodeo event is by nominating your rides and runs with the WCRA. Use promo code GAGE10 for 10% off your next nomination. Again, that promo code is GAGE10 for 10% off your next nomination. To learn more, just visit WCRARodeo.com and learn how you can earn a spot at the Days of 47 Rodeo and possibly be rodeo's next millionaire. What?
This is The Gage with host Chance Conradude.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gage, and I am Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, we've got Madison Uthier. Madison is sitting number two in the world for the breakaway roping. She's done a host of cool things. She's got some pretty amazing parents. They've got drafts and stuff, which is that's like the number one thing, right? You don't know anybody who has a draft. Her mom played in the U.S. polo team. She was one of the most decorated female polo players ever. Her dad's been in the NFR multiple times, trains amazing rope horses. They have bucking horses. They've got a ranch. They do everything. She's acted. She's modeled. She's won buckles. She wants to win a gold buckle. Anyway, I think she can do it. Check it out. Have you ever watched an episode of The Gage before?
I have, yep.
So you know that it gets weird. We'll tone it down because usually people are drinking on the show, but you can't do that. Your mom can, but it doesn't look like she's going to.
She's got to drive me home.
Whoops.
I got a rope in the morning.
Yeah.
She's driving.
All right. So we were kind of talking about your background, right? Your dad rodeoed, your mom played for U.S. polo team. I mean, your mom got some pretty serious accolades when it comes to polo. And I'm trying not to overly fixate on the polo thing, but I already know all the breakaway stuff. So I wanted to talk about that at least for a little bit.
Yeah, no, she retired from playing professionally a couple years ago so that she could stay home with us. I have a younger brother who's 13 years old, and so she wanted to be able to go to my rodeos more, be at his sports more. But when she retired, she was actually number one rated woman player in America and number two in the world. So she doesn't like to brag on herself much, but she was awesome, and I got to travel with her across the world, going to play polo, watching her play in her tournaments. We went to Jamaica multiple times, to Mexico, and then all across you know, the United States, Argentina, England. So it's really a cool and definitely a different aspect of, you know, equestrian side of things, like for the polo compared to rodeo, they're completely different ways of life. So it's really awesome to get to, you know, have the best of both worlds and see that with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so can you kind of explain the game of polo? Because I guarantee there's a lot of rodeo people who have no idea.
Yeah.
They think it's a brand of clothing.
It's very complicated, actually. And so there is four players on each team. And each player has a number, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And each number is actually a strategic position. And so kind of like how you have your positions in basketball, there's positions in polo. And so the 1 is more the forward who runs. The 2 is, you know, your defensive player. And then 3 is like the quarterback. 4 is the one that stays back, hits it far. And then there's 2 umpires, we call it, on the field at all times. And they call fouls. And so there's a lot of different rules to the game, of course. And a lot of the times she explains it well, but when you hit the ball, so it's a small ball about, you know, a little bit bigger than a tennis ball, and it's completely solid plastic. She's broke her arms a few times getting hit by the ball. It's really hard. Anyway, so when you hit the ball, it creates an imaginary line, kind of like you're rolling out a toilet paper roll, and another person cannot cross that line.
So the line that the ball goes.
The line that the ball goes, it creates a line extending further. So going in front of the ball, in between you and the ball, the person cannot cross over. And it's kind of just for dangerous riding reasons and keeping horses safe. But so there's a lot of different parts to those rules. But basically there's 2 goalposts at the end of the polo fields. Polo fields are 350 yards by 150 yards. So they're really big. And it takes a lot of work to keep them up. We have 2 polo fields in front of our house in Fulshire. And so it's a lot of work to keep the fields nice, the grass cut perfectly, fertilized. Yeah, because
it's almost like golf course grass.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, and the horses make divots every game so much. You got to repair them, keep them up. And so, yeah, 2 goalposts at the end of each field. And basically the goal of the game is to make it into the goals. And then the most points win at the end of the game.
And how long's the game?
So there's 4 to 6 chuckers, you call it. They're like quarters, but you call them chuckers because it can be 4 chuckers in a game or 6 chuckers in the game. The higher level of polo you go into, it's usually 6 chuckers. And so each chucker is 7.5 minutes long. And so you actually use about 1 to 2 horses per chucker. So you got to have a lot of horses because when they get tired, you got to switch them out. They're like race horses, you know, they can only go for so long, and then once you feel them get tired, you got to switch out. So,
okay, so it's actually not that long of a game then.
Yeah, with fouls and stuff, and then they have like halftime in between. It usually takes about 1.5 hours of a game. But
and you've played too, right?
Yes, yeah. I've really gotten into it the past few years. I actually got to play this November in the Texas Women's Open on a team. My mom used to play in that tournament a lot. A lot of the girls come from all over the world to play. And we ended up winning that tournament. So that was like my biggest polo win. But I have gotten to play in junior tournaments and stuff in some of like the foreign countries we've went to with her playing, or Florida, New York, places like that.
So. Sure. Yeah. And well, and then obviously your dad's a rodeo guy. And so you come from 2 very unique cultures, right? We know 1 really well because that's our culture, which is, it's totally different, right? Like polo's definitely very posh. You've got the same type of sponsors that thoroughbred racing has, right? Like really high-end Hermes and Rolex, and like it's a different world, right?
It is.
And rodeo has none of that. Rodeo polo people, other than some of the people who are involved, probably look at rodeo as maybe they don't even think about it. I mean, why would they?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a different way of life, but yep.
Yeah, and I mean, what do you prefer? Do you like the diversity of being able to experience both?
I really like the diversity of both. I'm definitely more committed in the rodeo world, and going into college and stuff, I probably won't play polo much, but so I'd say rodeo is more of my, you know, lifestyle that I like better, but it's really awesome to have both.
Yeah. I see you, by the way. I mentioned alcohol and all of a sudden a Bud Light appeared in your hand. Yep. Yep. I knew you were going to go for it. I could see it. Looks like you're driving yourself home.
Yeah.
Or back to Abilene, I guess. So, yep. When was it for you, though, that you decided you wanted to pursue rodeo?
Well, I'd say probably in about the fourth grade is whenever my parents started hauling me to youth rodeos. I had a Shetland pony named Waylon at the time that my dad's dad found, and his two younger sisters rodeoed too. So they always kind of had a flow of horses that they high school rodeoed on, college rodeoed on, that I started acquiring. And then when I got into junior high and doing the junior high rodeos, making it to state, I made it to nationals my sixth grade year. So I think that really, you know, got me hooked going to those junior high rodeos and stuff like that. So I'd say about fifth, sixth grade year, that's when it really hooked me. I got a really great horse named Short Go from my dad's middle sister named Lindsay. And they broke, trained him everything, and he was amazing pole and barrel horse. And so that's what I made it to nationals on. And yeah, he was like a one-of-a-kind horse. So he took me all the way through, I think, my sophomore year in high school riding him, and he was amazing. So, you know, I think that was a big part in it. I was interested in goat tying and stuff and breakaway, but barrels and poles was mainly my, you know, thing because of him. But then I acquired Rooster, which is my good horse now. He was about 4 years old when I started roping on him. We raised him through our quarter horse breeding program in Utopia, and my dad trained him, and I started riding him, I think, in eighth grade. So that's when my breakaway, I think, started, you know, really turning into my main thing. But all the way through then, it was mainly barrels and poles, but I really loved it, and I loved doing all the events in it, and it was really fun as a kid, so.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It kind of runs your life, right? Like, if you rodeo, or if you come from a family that's like mine, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all their jobs. That's all they do. Yeah. I'm the only one who does other stuff, and, like, you almost have to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I actually was about the only one of my friends I knew that went to public school still. I just graduated about a month ago, but all the way through my whole high school career, I went to public school. I played basketball, tennis, volleyball in school, mainly basketball. Most of my friends homeschooled, only rodeo, because, you know, it's very time commitment. So, I played polo too. I was kind of liked being busy, but if you just want to do rodeo, you know, that fills up a lot of your time too. So
yeah, it does. Everybody that I could think of who rodeo, they always homeschool. Yeah, they're like so dedicated to that. They don't want to have like a normal teenage experience.
Right.
I wasn't willing to give that part up for rodeo. Doesn't sound like you were either.
Yeah.
But I mean, so most notably, you've been really kicking ass in breakaway, and you know, you've been doing good in the WCRAs and all that, and obviously breakaway's come a long way since when you started. Yeah. Like the last 2-3 years, it's blown up. Like it's a whole different thing. It's having like a huge effect on all of rodeo, especially tie down. Like if you want to rope calves, it's tough to find a horse now.
Yeah.
Because you can find half a horse and do breakaway.
For sure.
What is that your main focus? I know you're doing barrels for the high school rodeo stuff and all that, but are you going to try to go both routes or focus breakaway?
Definitely breakaway. I just turned 18 in September. I bought my card, and so I've been going to a bunch of the pro rodeos now, but just in breakaway. And like you said, I mean, it's skyrocketed in the past few years. I was fortunate, you know, in 2019 they added it, breakaway, to the American, and that was the first time, you know, the first year that I was really starting to get into breakaway, really starting to, you know, win the junior events, get my confidence up. And so, you know, I consider myself really lucky getting to be in this era that it's coming up in. You know, a lot of the girls, Jackie, Kelsey, JJ, Larry D, you know, they paved the way for us, and I'm really thankful to that. But, you know, it's a really great time to be a breakaway roper right now. So I'm very lucky that I'm kind of in the era that it's coming up, and I'm able to go to the pro rodeos now while it's coming up. And it's a really great, you know, experience to get to do all this stuff, like go to the rodeos that my dad went to. And so, it's really awesome.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah.
And with it being involved in pro rodeo, and obviously the WCRA is great. You won the deal down in Corpus, which is cool. They gave you like a surfboard.
Yeah, I won a surfboard. Yeah, the WCRA, I think, is one of the main reasons breakaway has skyrocketed. I think they were the first one to give breakaway ropers equal pay at their majors, you know, $50,000. Jackie won it at, I think it was Kansas City. That was even before the American.
Yeah.
And so, huge props to them, because it's been a great production that they put on. I got to go to the Women's World Championship during the PBR in November at AT&T Stadium. That was a great event. And then I got to go to Corpus. That was a great event. It's just, yeah, they do a really great job.
Yeah, they do. Yep. Yeah, they kill it. Bobby's got that under control. Yeah. I'm not just saying that because they're one of our sponsors, but
yeah, they're great.
They are. They're really cool. But yep. So your dad was a bareback rider, right? Or was he a saddle bronc rider?
Mainly.
Yeah, so what was his whole thing? Because you guys also created like a whole program with horses and did kind of a lot of stuff that put you in a pretty favorable position to do stuff with horses. Besides, I mean, your mom's enough, but.
Yeah, well, he was a four-time national finals qualifier in the saddle bronc, but he grew up roping. He won the Linderman Award twice, actually. He did all the events, bareback, saddle bronc, bulls, team roping, calf roping, steer wrestling.
He did them all in the PRCA too, huh?
He did, yep. And so he, you know, is definitely a major reason to my success in the rodeo world. He came from a rodeo family. His dad was a IPRA world champion many times, and he was mainly a bareback rider, Milburn Uthier. And his mom was a secretary. His two sisters, they rodeoed their whole lives going into college. And so, so he's always been, you know, just straightforward cowboy. That's all he's ever done. And he trains horses now for my family's breeding program. My mom's parents actually started that. It's called LA Waters Quarter Horses, and they bought our ranch in Utopia, Texas in 1972 when they had Colonel Freckles at the time and started our breeding program based on his bloodline pretty much. So it was a lot of, you know, reining, cutting horses mainly that they bred at the beginning. Which, you know, now is amazing for roping horses. And they use my dad to break the colts that we have left that haven't sold.
He still breaks colts?
Oh, yeah. Dang. He's the LA Waters official colt breaker. We don't have many left after their weanlings. They sell pretty fast. But, you know, we do have a handful of them left every year or even that people have bought that want him to break them still. And so he's saved a few, you know, here and there to keep and train into roping horses. He's made some amazing rope horses that Clint Cooper bought one named Bear that went to the finals. I mean, he's trained some really great ones. And so Rooster was one that he saved. 8-Ball now is one that I have that he saved. And, yeah, no, his ability to train horses is unmatched. I mean, you can ask just about anybody and his – you know, the way he breaks horses and stuff like that, it's just, it's really cool to watch. And he has such a great, you know, touch on him, I guess. I don't really know what he does. People ask him, how do you get those horses stopped so hard? And he's like, I don't know. But, yeah, he does a really great job with rope horses especially. So I'm lucky to have him and, you know, his background in the rodeo world to, you know, put me in the positions now to be on those horses and stuff like that.
I mean, it adds more context to why breakaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's just so many weird anomalies in your family.
Yeah.
Polo player marries saddle bronc rider who's actually a roper.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny if you think about it all. So
yeah.
So you've got a depth of horses. Back to polo though, real quick.
Yeah.
Is it mostly quarter horses for polo?
Mostly thoroughbreds. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Because the duration and the speed, you know, that they have to have, but. We've actually started breeding some thoroughbred stallions that my mom has to some quarter horse mares that we have, or vice versa. Her great thoroughbred mares that she played to some of our quarter horse stallions, doing that kind of cross, and it's been really successful and good. She's training some that have gone up and played the highest polo there is under the best players in the world. So, you know,
with a quarter horse thoroughbred cross, huh?
Yep. And so, yeah, mainly thoroughbred, though, but you do see a lot of crosses starting to happen because, you know, in polo, it is a lot of times flat-out running, but you got to have a good stop-and-turn handle on them. You know, you're doing a lot of lateral movements. You hook people. You take them out. And so, yeah, it's really good to have, you know, that quarter horse part in them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Because people used to do that for barrel racing. They used to put thoroughbreds in them, and then they kind of found out over time it took away a lot of their, you know, lateral flexibility,
right.
And they quit doing it. But back in before, like, big breeding was a thing for barrel horses, people did some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Most people were getting their horses off the track, and so you would think that a bigger, faster horse would be better.
Yeah.
So you think about, well, you know, a 17-hand right. horse has a hard time breaking down and turning a barrel. Yeah,
for sure.
Have you had any, like, polo injuries? Because the first thing you type in, if you, like, go to YouTube and you're like, I'm really interested in trying to play polo, you see people getting jacked up.
Yeah, no, I actually have gotten pretty lucky. I know my horse dumped me once and I fell off because they paint white lines across the end of the field so you yeah. kind of know where it's at. And she saw the white line on the ground and stopped, and I went over. But I think that's about the worst I've had. My mom's had some broken ribs, a few broken arms. probably more injuries than that. Yeah. But, yeah, it gets pretty rank.
It does. Yeah. yeah. Especially, like, the men, like, it's crazy. I follow one man, so his name's Nacho or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's his? Yeah. Of course yep. you'd know. Anyway, I follow him because I was like, polo. That's the guy to follow. All yep. right. And he has some videos of people just getting brutalized.
Yeah.
Which is like 90% of why I like it. Because I was like, this is rougher than rodeo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's no, like, I get bruises because, I mean, you got to wear knee pads. You got to right. wear pads in your boots. You got to wear thick leather boots that go to your knees just so, because, I mean, they call it riding off. And so, basically, you're running full speed. If you want to get the ball, you can't cross the line. So the only way to get it is to hook the other person and hope you get it, or take the other person out, literally, which is called a ride off. You have to, there's rules to it, so it's not super dangerous, but you have to ride next to them and push them over with your horse.
So if they go and over the line, it's a foul.
If they're not into contact with you and it's too close, like it has to be a certain amount of, you know, length in front of you to the ball. But if they cross over it and try and hit it, that will be a foul. But, yeah, so definitely lots of bruises. You get elbow pads, too. There's elbowing. There's, yeah, a lot of ways to get hurt in the game. But
yeah. Do you know a lot about polo history?
Not much.
Like how long it's been around? I mean, I know it's one of the oldest equestrian sports, yeah. but.
I'd probably be lying if I said a number, but, yeah. I know it's been, like, a queen's sport back, like, right. from way back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Rodeo, not so much. Yeah. It's definitely like rodeo is like the quintessential American sport, right? If you compare the two cultures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not elegant, rough, tumble, Western. It's totally different. Yeah. But it's got to be fun, right? Like coming into it and realizing, like, you can look at some really influential people who are involved in the rodeo sport. I mean, mm-hmm. the Fallons and things of that. And it probably really makes somebody young like you want to be involved in the sport for, you know, other reasons besides definitely. Just competing.
Well, and now, you know, with the addition of things like this and the Cowboy Channel showing on national television now, these rodeos, I think the sport is just booming and growing and, you know, giving kids like me and even younger more reasons than ever to want to be in it. And big productions like the American, the WCRA, I mean, those things are like, so amazing to be a part of, and the experience we get when we are there competing as athletes, we get put first definitely through the WCRA. I mean, they treat us athletes like celebrities, and it's amazing. So, I mean, I think really now that it's getting showcased, we have social media, more, you know, businesses showing off their brands and stuff through that. Like, I just think the whole Western way of life is a lot more, you know, shown off, and kids are wanting to be a part of it now more than ever, I think.
Yeah, because it always had less so now because of the way they televise it and highlight it, but it always had because you went to a, did you go to a big school?
Yes. Yeah.
Aaron, you tell people that you rodeo, like, what is their?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Redneck, right? Like those yeah. sort of things.
Yeah.
You're like, no, it's not that. Like that always bothered me. It's like, no, it isn't. Like, you don't understand. It's like the yeah. opposite of that. We yeah. don't like that because that's not real.
Right.
But, I mean, is that how, did you, like, get to go to prom and do all that? And
oh, yeah, yeah. And some of my friends, like, that really know me, I mean, I go to school in, like, you know, not my rodeo gear. So they're like, oh, Maddie, she's not country. She just rodeos.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be country kids that wear their boots and jeans to school and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they never rodeo. They're never even able to ride a horse for some reason.
Yeah, cool. And then they'll be like, oh, Maddie, she like, my basketball, the girls on my team, oh, yeah, she rodeos. She's not country, though. Like, yeah. they don't even know, you know. It's right. different. But, yeah, my friends do know that, you know, it's different. But
it is different, yeah. It is funny that, like, if you have friends who don't do it, they always have that perception, like, country person.
Yeah.
Like, You move a little slower than us smart people.
Yeah.
That's how they act.
Yeah.
Or if you do anything like in the business world, yeah, or you go into that at all, they're always like, well, let's use small slow words down for the country person. Yeah. Like, rodeos.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's not how it is, though. Some people are like that, though. Like, you talk to Ryan Jarrett or something. It's like, all right, that's a hillbilly right there. Yeah. But not everybody. Yeah, certainly right. Not you. But what are your goals with Breakaway? I mean, I'm not going to ask any more polo questions because it's not really fair. But just because I want to know more about it doesn't mean you want to tell me more about it.
Yeah, rodeo, definitely this year, make the NFR. I'm actually currently number two in the world right now, which there's a long summer ahead, but I've had a good start to the year. So we're going to go pretty hard this summer at the pro rodeos. I start college in the fall, so that's going to conflict a little bit with the end of the season rodeos, but that's my main goal this year. Make it to the finals, be a world champ, and so, you know, make it to the American again. That's an unreal experience. We have the WCRA major, Salt Lake City, coming up. I'm eligible for the Triple Crown now that I won Corpus Christi, so yep. Salt Lake's a big one on my, you know, radar coming up. If I do good there, you know, that's another step closer to the $1 million.
$1 million. Yep. Yeah, it's and pretty so sweet.
It is, and us breakaway ropers aren't given that chance anywhere else, not even at the American yet, so I'm really excited for that thing, that coming up. There's a lot of things, you know, coming up for us breakaway ropers. It's so cool now that we have all the opportunities we do, but yep, those are my main things.
This is going to be your first, like, 4th of July rodeo thing.
Yeah, I've only done the amateur ones, but yeah. Yep.
So are you traveling with anybody, or is your parents going with you? Is your mom going?
Yep.
The whole time?
Going. They're going.
Everybody's going? Well, it's a family thing? It's a Griswold vacation?
It is.
You don't know what that means. Your mom does, though.
No, I know what it means.
Oh, you do?
Oh, all yeah. Right,
so they've taught you things.
Yeah, no, but I am rodeoing, buddying with Brady Good and Jordy Edens, and so us girls have gone together quite a bit. Our parents are great support in all three of our lives, so I think we'll have all of our parents, you know, kind of taking rigs, and we'll be popping around, us three girls. But, you know, Larity, Jackie, all of them, you know, we kind of help each other out along the way, ride each other's horses if we need. So it's a really great, you know, time to be a breakaway roper. The girls are all so nice and, you know, helpful to each other. It's really awesome.
Yeah, that's the breakaway ropers have a really good culture because they were always, like, if you look at, like, Jackie and JJ and Larry D and just that group. They were always so used to only doing the WPRA stuff behind the scenes. Like, they always did everything together.
Yeah.
But that kind of goes through now that it's more mainstream, and it's not cutthroat at all. It's, like, for the opposite.
No, yeah. And, I mean, those girls are great. I've gotten to go stay with Jackie and rodeo with her some, and we've gotten close. I've gotten close with all those girls. Kelsey actually lived at my dad's house through her whole college career, roping there while she rodeoed and stuff. So, I mean, I've always been really close with her, too, and, I mean, all those girls, just super nice, help you out anytime they can. Really great group to be a part of.
Yeah, they are. They're all great. Yeah. I think almost everybody's been on the show already, too.
Yeah.
We have a lot of breakaway ropers on.
Yeah.
Trying to elevate the sport for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going to college?
A&M.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I'm on the rodeo team there, and I'll study business.
Oh, man, you're going to be busy.
Yep.
A lot of world champions have gone there. Haley Kinzel went to A&M.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Studying business, college rodeo. And so, I mean, it's going to be tough to pro rodeo for a little bit probably, huh?
It will. And I'll probably have to, you know, slow down those 4 years and focus on school, you know. But, yeah, that's why I'm kind of wanting to go hard this year and really you know, make it this year, make it count, because it was my last year at high school. It was kind of COVID year, so we really, like, we'd got to do most of our school online, even though I was still going to public school. So I've been able to, you know, go to the beginning of the season rodeos already, and then this summer with my parents, I'll get to do that, so.
So did you have to wear, like, the mask for the whole school year and do that whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we got to choose to go to school or do it online. And I'd say I did about half and half, went to school half the year, went online half the year. We got to choose every 6 weeks whether we want to go back or not. But, yeah, when I went to school, you had to wear masks the whole day.
Really?
Social distance. Yeah, it was kind of a bummer. But
really? Wait, so You did get to do a prom and all that, but did you have to wear a mask at the prom?
We did get to have a prom. I actually didn't go to my school prom. I went to my high school region rodeo prom, so there were no masks there. And I don't think there were masks at my high school prom, though, actually. Yeah, I think they got to not wear those.
Did you walk in your graduation and do all that?
I did, and we did not have to wear a mask for that.
Oh, so. That's cool. Yes. So at least you got, like, some semblance of normalcy.
Right.
I was wondering what it was like for, like, kids who... Like, you lose all that.
I know. The kids last year got screwed, but yeah. I was lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Well, cool. It sounds like you've got some big plans. And
yeah.
Wait, so you're going to study business. So what do you want to do business-wise?
So my mom's dad is actually my big inspiration in that. He's started up his own businesses in a lot of different eras. And so I kind of want to do that, be an entrepreneur, start my own businesses. I don't think I'll ever get out of the Western industry. I'd love to create some businesses.
Needs more businesses.
Yeah.
So bad. More like forward thinking businesses who do different things.
And so I would love to do that. I have my own jewelry business actually already. I started about a year ago. This is one of my pieces.
Ooh.
I make like necklaces and stuff like that. And so it's called Madison Lynn Jewelry. I just love like, you know, kind of doing my own marketing, doing the social media for it, starting a new idea and doing all that. So I'll definitely do some entrepreneurship stuff, business management type things.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Social media is number one tool.
Yeah.
Use that for like every business I have. It's,
yep.
We do that. You can spend $10 on Facebook and reach more people than you can like spending $5,000 with Google.
Right, yeah.
So do that.
For sure, yeah.
Well, cool. I'm glad you came on the show and you guys have a haul to get back to Abilene and like not the best time. Plus your mom's drinking beer. So you guys are gonna have to hang for a little bit anyways. She's really embarrassed back there. Look at her. You would think someone with all these polo accolades would be able to keep it together.
You're gonna embarrass her so much.
I know. What tie? Never mind. That was whatever that was weird. Now I'm really uncomfortable.
I don't know how this is uncomfortable to you.
I could assume 1,000 things that means that make me uncomfortable. Madison, are you uncomfortable now?
A little bit.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do with Ty is just say outlandish things to make him blush. And Riley, but usually Riley hides behind the door. Because you know how we were talking about the homeschool kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
Yeah, homeschool kids who only rodeoed.
Yeah.
The social awkwardness that comes with that.
Yeah.
You got to break that as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's trying to break it. So she thought the best thing she could do to get out of her shell was work at a podcast.
Oh, yeah. She's done a good job.
She does. Yeah, you know, you've been talking to her for what seems like probably a lifetime.
No, yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Let's chance some questions. You don't have to ask me anything. I'm going to ask nothing there.
I was going to ask this, because this is not the first podcast you've been on, right?
No.
How would you rate this experience compared to those?
Whoa, that is an attack on what other podcasts?
I did one for All Things Breakaway called In the Loop Podcast.
Oh, never heard of it. No, they're probably great, though.
No, yeah. My friend Jordan Fabricio started that, but it was a
Zoom I high school call. Rodeoed with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really nice lady, but no, this 10 out of 10, really cool. I love coming to y'all's studio. It's awesome.
Really?
Yep.
That's great. Ten out of 10?
I feel kind of cool with these on, too.
So. You feel like?
And this.
Feel like a air traffic controller or something like that?
Yeah, I do.
Was like it weird to hear yourself?
At first, it was, yeah.
But it makes you sound better on the air. That's what we do.
I've done some film stuff, so I'm
Yeah, you did, right? Riley was telling me that. You did some movie stuff.
Yep. So when I was like, actually, we just talked about this last night. When I was about 7 years old, my dad and I were driving through his bucking horse pasture, and on comes the radio, and it says, "Your kid wants to be on Disney Channel. Call this number." You know, those commercials.
You guys made that call?
Oh, yeah. My dad called, and I got sent to Austin for an audition. Got it. They sent me to Orlando for 2 weeks. I did
to Disney World or Disney Studios?
Yes. And I did a whole week of acting and modeling stuff in front of agents and managers. Got picked up by about 10 of them. My mom and I, she took me to New York City. We lived in a little apartment for about 2 months. And I went on about 3 auditions a day, just taxi all day, every day. I had, you know, signed with some agents and managers there. And I'd booked some little stuff there. They had actually been filming a movie on our ranch in Utopia called 7 Days in Utopia with Robert Duvall. That was like my first movie. I was just a little extra in it. Mm-hmm. But from then on, I did a couple other movies. I actually got asked to be in another movie with Robert Duvall called Wild Horses, and I had a normal speaking role in that movie. It had James Franco, Josh Hartnett in it too, and we spent, I think it was like 8 weeks in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. They used our horses in that too.
Really?
Yep. And so I did some commercials, little stuff here and there, did plays. And so, yeah, I was really involved with the whole acting stuff a lot. I loved it, but
why'd you stop doing that? I mean, usually just, that hooks people and they just never want to quit.
I know it did, but I'm kind of like a hard work and get results. And those, you know, you'd do auditions and I'd work really hard. I had an acting coach. I'd go sit in his studio just like one-on-one with him like we are for, I mean, hours and do these auditions, practice my lines, you know, every single night for these auditions. And then you just never hear back from them if you didn't get it. And, you know, 9 out of 10 times you're not going to get it because there's 10,000 other kids auditioning for it and they might want a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl and you never know. And so that was, you know, I do hard work and not see any results. And so my rodeo, my basketball, my school, I would see, you know, direct results. And so that was just kind of when I got into high school, that's when I kind of, you know, made the decision to kind of step away from it. But
yeah.
Yep. But it was a really cool part of my life that I really think helped me with a lot of aspects. Like I just got to speak at the Texas High School Finals in front of everybody. Resist All asked me to do the speech there at the opening ceremony, and I was able to do that pretty well, you know, speak in front of a lot of people.
Without being uncomfortable, like how could you be if you auditioned for like these cold, heartless people?
Right.
Like it'd be really easy to talk to rodeo folks.
Yeah, and so I really do think, you know, it helped me out in a lot of aspects of, you know, even the rodeo world now. So, yeah,
it's a great time. That's pretty amazing that, like, your mom put her life on hold for all that time to move to New York with you and do all that.
Yeah.
You guys are good parents. I don't know a lot of people would do that. Yeah. Most people are too selfish with their own lives to do that.
Yeah, there was a polo tournament.
Oh, there's more context. Yeah. Mom's loosening up.
Yeah, there was a polo tournament there in Saratoga, New York that we took the train from there. But no, yeah, they're amazing.
And one thing you got to go do for you the whole time in 2 months?
Yeah. No, they're amazing. And yeah. So supportive. Anything I've wanted to do with their head and helping me with. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, is Robert Duvall really Western?
He is. He's an amazing person. Actually, we've become very close family friends with him now. He's an amazing person. He has a big, farm in Virginia. They had a big place in, Argentina and in Florida, and very horse person, like not really into the Western part of it. He was more into, you know, the English parts of it too. But yeah, no, he's awesome.
Yeah, so he's kind of the real deal because some of them, like I always thought Kevin Costner because of like Yellowstone and all that would be super. Not really.
Yeah, no, he is
surprised.
No, yeah, he's one of the good ones.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good. Most of them aren't like open about it either. They have to hide all that.
No, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you decided to go the rodeo route because it'd be really sad if like you tried to follow the acting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like maybe it didn't work out and then like, you're on the beach in LA. Similar surfboard to the one you won, but like you're using it for different things.
Right.
Like a teepee because you wouldn't be able to live anywhere. Right. Could be bad.
Yeah, no, I'm glad with my choice. Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out for you. And I bet you it opens up other doors maybe in that world later too.
Definitely.
As it grows.
Definitely.
They're probably going to need like someone to ride in Yellowstone again.
That'd be cool too.
That could be
you.
You have the experience.
Might be working on the Cowboy Channel one day. You never know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Don't know.
Have you talked to anybody who works at the Cowboy Channel?
Yeah, I like them. They're
have you been over there?
Yes. I have a few times. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's awesome. Yeah.
They're doing a good job. It's for what they had to work with and all that. If you know anything about entertainment industry, like it's pretty impressive that they've been able to televise every rodeo.
It really is.
It's on the backs of a lot of really hardworking people, but it's crazy.
Definitely.
For our sport, best thing, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Did you guys get to go to the NFR at all and get to see that when it was in Arlington? First time?
I did. Yeah, I was in a lot of rodeos around the area during that time, but we got to go a few nights. My dad actually raises bucking horses, too, and he had, I think, 7 horses in the finals this year.
Yeah.
Rider Wright won one of the rounds on him on one of our horses. He was 91. So we went and watched, you know, the horses. His friends are all still in it.
Right.
my friends are in it now. It's kind of crazy. But
that's pretty. He had seven horses. That's pretty amazing. I mean, yep. That means a lot of guys like his horses.
Yes.
So that's pretty flattering. Yep.
Stace Smith, Benny Butler, all of them kind of have fight over his horses every year to try and buy them.
Right.
Yeah. He of raises course. Them down in Utopia too. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
You guys got a little dynasty going on down in Utopia. Yeah. You need to check it out. Is it really nice there?
It is. It's gorgeous. Probably the prettiest place I've ever been. It's really? Mountains straight to crystal clear rivers.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you should watch the movie 7 Days in Utopia. It shows a little bit of our place. Mm-hmm. There's a golf course that's really pretty. The town is very small, but our ranch is really cool. My grandpa actually started his collection of exotics on the ranch, so our family has that part of it, too, that's really
like
pretty.
Like for hunting, like axis deer and
no,
stuff?
No, not or? For hunting. It's just for, you know, our family. But we have, like, giraffes. We have rhino, zebras.
Oh.
Yeah, those exotics.
Like, way exotic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was different.
So
I was thinking,
you'll
like,
have to come deer. Sometime. But
how far is it from here?
From here, probably about 5 hours. It's down an hour and a half west of San Antonio. So
okay.
It's in the hill country. You ever heard of, like, the Frio River?
I'm going to say yes, but no.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not from Texas.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. why. But yep. yeah, no, it's in the hill country part mm-hmm. of Texas. It's gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll definitely come check your
I know exactly
place
the area.
And it's, then yeah, your mom really can pretty. Teach me polo. That way, yeah. when I buy my polo horses in Sarasota, I can
there you
be
go.
Game.
Yes.
I'll be game. You're going to teach me. Commit to it now because I'm not going to let you. Look. Done. Yes. All right, so we're going to come. We're play polo. So I have to fight bulls. I have to go cutting, and now we're going to go do polo in
yes.
Utopia.
Yes,
I keep committing to doing other rodeo events and oh, yeah. recording it because got to give the people
fun.
What they want.
It'll be fun.
All right, I'll be there. We'll figure out a time and a place.
I do want to see you in like the whole – we got to put in the whole outfit too for polo. Oh, you can't just wear that. You got to wear
white,
the outfit.
White tight pants that tuck into your boots.
Wait, how tight? Because I can go pretty tight.
Well, my dad has actually played a couple of games, and he will not wear tight pants. So you don't have to go super tight. But white pants, you got to wear the helmet, you got to wear in. The polo shirt tucked in, little belt.
I'm in.
Knee pads.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm a big Goggles. Fan of that Nacho guy, so yeah. you know, if you can make him come and watch me, then that would be cool.
Yeah, we all got right. some we got some cool friends we can
yeah.
pull together.
And then maybe we can put like the drafts in the background, just so it makes yeah. for good video for YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're we have to keep our monetization too. On YouTube going.
Yeah.
So. I feel like I have to Photoshop this now. I have to put him in a polo outfit.
Why do you have to Photoshop it?
With giraffes in the background.
You don't have to Photoshop it. All the essentials are already
well,
there.
Until you do it, though.
Yeah, well.
I think you should.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, we're talking about breakaway roping, but we really got off track here. I'm sorry for stealing that time from you, Madison. You came all this way, and
no,
now I'm making
great.
It about me, and I feel bad.
No, it's great. Yeah. I love polo, too, so I love talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking cool.
It's awesome.
But I like how different it is. I mean, it's yeah. cool that you have done both.
Yes. Yeah.
So, well, this time I'm actually going to let you go so you guys can get on the road and you can okay. get back and kick some butt. But thanks for coming, guys.
Yep.
I'm glad it was finally able to work.
Yes. So. Thank you guys so much for having me.
You screwed up. You didn't take any, did you?
You guys still going?
Well, we can.
I'm not stopping
like
you.
Yeah. See, like this, there's like three things you have to do, and for some reason, that third one you just—it's really upsetting. Yeah, I think.
I'm trying not to look dumb now.
See, it puts uncomfortable pressure. Ty,
I got it. I'm done. We're all like, set.
She's trying to be confident and a strong woman, and you're in here, and you're screwing up, dude. That's the reason in 2021 people have a problem with men because of what you just did.
Yeah.
I did. So I made mistakes too, is what you're saying.
We're sorry.
Yeah. Well, I really thought time. I was going to be able to keep it turned down because, but you're not. You're 18. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've done Hollywood. You get it. It's fine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you. She can handle it.
Oh yeah.
Plus, your mom's drinking beer and like it's just it's a party. I don't know why he keeps saying that there was beer here. There was no beer. There's no alcohol in this studio. It's just, they're just props. It's fine. All right. I'm really going to let you go this time, Madison.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Riley Chone. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next time.